Hello, welcome to California PC 187, the podcast. 187 is the penal code in California for homicide. In this podcast, we focus on murders that have taken place in the southwestern region of Los Angeles County, known as the South Bay, Harbor Area, and Gateway Cities. Aside from murder, other grimy and possibly triggersome topics may be discussed, such as rape, animal and/or child abuse, torture, and other types of crimes. The hosts might sometimes use language that could be considered offensive to some people. Listener discretion is advised.
Murder! Murder, murder, murder. You got away with murder. You got away with a lie.
This is Brett.
And this is Cheryl.
And Dewey's here. She just sat up, but she's going back to sleep. And this is California PC 187.
The podcast.
And we are doing an episode 2 weeks in a row.
Yes, we are.
Cool. And we're going to start out this one, like we did the last one, with a quiz. And the title of this quiz is there someone stalking you? Or are you just paranoid? Okay? So, there are different kinds of stalkers. Some are harmless and some are dangerous. Other people think that they are being stalked, but I think some are just being paranoid. Do you have a stalker? What kind of stalker is it? Was it harmless or not? Well, why not find out for yourself? Are you being stalked or are you just paranoid? Are you ready to take the quiz, Brett?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, you received a letter. What is written on it? A, something sweet like roses are red and violets are blue. B, kind of creepy like you'll be mine someday. C, it almost scared me to death like enjoy your last days. Or D, no one sends me letters.
B.
Kind of creepy like you'll be mine someday?
Yeah.
Ooh, yikes. Okay, second question. When you're walking alone, what do you feel? A, someone is behind me and looks like they're glaring at me. B, heavy footsteps like I'm being followed. C, I feel like being watched but safe like someone is trying to protect me. Or D, I'm alone.
A.
Oh my gosh. Three, do you already receive a weird phone call? Wait, that's a weird question. Have you already received weird phone calls? A, no one calls me but my friends. B, yeah, but he, she doesn't speak and sometimes I hear chuckles. C, yeah, from a guy who says hello, then hangs up like he's shy about something. Or D, yeah, very weird. He calls just to tell me you're mine when I don't know who the hell he is.
D.
Four. Do you find yourself attractive? A. Yes, I'm beyond perfect. B. Some flaws, like a little overweight. C. Average. B. Ugly. Or D. I want to kill myself.
I say A.
Asshole. It's true. Okay, so do you feel safe in your home? A, I feel like someone is staring at me. B, I feel safe. C, I feel unsafe. D, what?
A.
I know, my answer for that one would be what? Okay, A, let's see. Do you think you have a stalker? A, yes. B, maybe. C, nope. And D, I don't know.
Nope.
Okay. Look at your surroundings right now. Okay. Tell me, do you see someone staring? You know, look. Seriously, look. Is that person staring at you? Like,
I don't know.
In that car over there?
He's pointed. He didn't care about it.
Why is his fucking car pointed in our direction?
Yeah.
Okay, so A, eep. There's a dude outside my house smirking at me. Or B, there's a dog. C, there's... What the hell? Like, what is going on in Torrance tonight?
Huh.
You know? Okay, C, there's someone at my freaking window. Or D, oh, there's someone outside our house, and he smiles at me.
I say B.
Right? There's a dog. Okay. Do you want to go outside because you're scared someone will get you? A, yes. Wait. Do you not want to go outside because you're scared someone will get you? Do you want to go outside? A, yes. B, no. Why? C, a little scared. D, why? I feel safe and the cute girl waves at me.
I feel safe. Was that B?
No, that would be, does the cute girl wave at you?
No.
So, yes?
Yes, I feel safe. Is that the question?
No, I think you said, no, why?
That
would
what?
Be your answer would be, no, why? The answer, yeah. Okay.
That's a confusing question.
Okay. So, 9, we're just going to move on. Okay, this will not affect the quiz, okay? So, just to let you know. Is the name... Krisnika Jude, weird.
Krisnika Jude? This whole thing is weird.
A, yes. B, no. C, kinda. D, that name is hilarious. E, Chris, what?
Nika Jude.
Or, wait, A, B, C, D, E. F, pretty weird, but it's unique in a good way.
Yeah.
You said yes. Last question. There's a guy behind you.
Okay.
A, where? B, runs while screaming. C, you can't fool me. D, ha ha ha. Or E, I just hope it's him.
D, I just hope it's him.
No. You looked at me like, you can't fool me.
Yeah.
Okay, submit answers. Your result to the question, is there someone stalking you or are you just being paranoid? Your result, you have a love stalker.
Uh-oh.
Some of these stalkers are harmless and some are dangerous, but always be careful. Maybe he or she is already planning to kidnap you to what? Make you his or her property.
Sex slave. What the fuck?
Right?
Bullshit.
61% just being paranoid. 23%, you have a deadly stalker. 7%, secret admirer. Uh-huh. That was kind of a dumb quiz.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, so, stalking kind of is one aspect of the story that we're going to tell this week, right?
Yeah.
And it is going to be the story of Tatiana Tarasoff. And while she is not from Southern California, she was from Northern California, we still think that it's an important story to tell. And so we're going to tell it. After all, it is California PC 187, and sometimes we might just go out of our boundaries, right?
Yep, always.
What?
I said always.
Okay, so we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, Brett, so we've been sitting on this episode for way too long.
Yeah, way too long.
We need to finish it.
Yes.
Oh, and
Tatiana.
This is what I wanted to do, was I wanted to sound really super professional.
Yeah, and role play.
So, be professional.
Very professional. Like a pro.
Yes, and we're going to talk like we're news people, and like we're actual reporters.
Yes, I'm Stone Phillips reporting for 60 Minutes.
60 Minutes? Dude, you got it all wrong. Isn't he like,
He's a pedophile.
He's not a pedophile.
No, he's busting on pedophiles.
What about someone else? Was that Stone Phillips too, huh?
It's Stone Phillips. Yeah, Stone Phillips. He comes in and says, excuse me, sir. You're supposed to meet the 12-year-old.
What did you expect to do with that 14-year-old boy right now?
Oh, I just wanted to come over and comfort him and talk.
I wanted to be like, kind of, you know, a big brother.
Yeah, with a bag of candy and prophylactics and marijuana in the back and alcohol.
Vodka.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. Yeah,
and
those.
I say, sir, you got Popov and not Belvedere for this child?
I'm trying to get my headache or butt fuck him.
Brett.
Yeah, Cheryl.
Don't be mad at me.
I'm not mad at you. It's just this hot, really hot.
Okay, it is hot, so let's hurry up and get this done. Look, Brett and I just recorded, like, the most bitchin' episode, and you know what? We didn't record it because I didn't push record. So, it was a really good practice, right?
Yep.
So now, let's get on our reporter voices.
Yep.
Okay, so, on January 22nd, 1949, there was a girl born in China, and do you know what her name was?
Tatiana.
Tatiana Tarasov.
Tata.
And she was born in China to Ukrainian parents. They moved to Brazil, where she lived with her mom and dad and her brother Alex until she was 14, at which time she moved to Alameda County, California, which is up north.
Just 30 miles above Fresno.
I know this is California PC 187 and that we state in our... in our little description that we talk about crimes that have happened in the southwest portion of Los Angeles County, but we're just going a little bit out just for this episode, okay? Maybe not just for this episode, but this episode.
A lot of culture, a lot of history, a lot of information, and I'm learning a lot from this one.
Okay, so Tatiana Tarasov, she moved to Alameda County, like I said, and there was... She was very influenced by the college, University of California at Berkeley. She was also influenced by the American culture. She wanted to be Americanized super bad as soon as she got here. I'm thinking it's because she was an Aquarius, hey, and it was the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Who else is an Aquarius?
Me.
January 21st.
So,
The day that we were
browsing. And what was happening, like, they moved to California in 1964 about, and... Man, it was the beginning of the counterculture movement. And the onset of the counterculture movement...
Was two cultures meet that are totally opposite.
It happened in Berkeley. And the major topics of discussion and that were the catalyst for the whole peace, love, and happiness hippie movement...
Counterculture.
...were civil rights... Free speech and Vietnam protest.
It was a mecca for counterculture. Actually, it seems to me like it was the birth of counterculture.
Kind of was. Yeah. And well, this is what they said too, though, is that, by the way, our sources are Wikipedia, Tarasov versus the Regents of the University of California, Podar versus the the state? I don't remember. It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, no,
but.
It's all backed by facts.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, yeah, I'm not going to claim, like, I know anything. And I'm actually not quoting anything because we don't have our notes with us. This is all from memorization because we have recorded and re-recorded this.
Yeah. Cal State Berkeley is part of the 10 pack, the Pacific 10 universities of, it's like almost like the Eastern Ivy Leagues. They're heavy hitters in the university.
And also, they also were basically forerunners in the whole students doing the peaceful assembly or just straight out rioting, or not rioting, protesting.
Yes.
Protesting things. Like, they protested World War II. Students from UC Berkeley also got upset and protested the whole 1949-1950 McCarthy hearings.
Yeah.
And sham. And they stood up for professors who had to take anti-communist oaths.
To get that check, you had to stand up and say you weren't never going to be a communist and you were going to protest against communists, even though you are allowed to be a communist in this country.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Right? And, God, they did a lot of people dirty back then. So
there was Ford. He was, Ford was.
Dutchie, are you okay?
I think even, what's his name? What was that guy's name?
LBJ?
No. It was the ACDC.
JFK?
No, ACDC. It was Tesla. Tesla was a, and also the guy who killed Kennedy.
Oh, Lee Harvey Oswald?
Yeah, he was part of the...
Should I say Lee H.O.?
Yeah, I mean, he was actually a Marine.
L.H.O.?
No, and he had the right to be... They actually were watching him for many years.
Yeah, well, you know what? They were watching him because he was a communist and he went to Russia. He visited Russia. This is besides the point.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's reel ourselves back in.
But it's kind of weird how they would just tell professors because they don't want children... Well, not children. Right. They don't want adolescents being taught.
Let's reel it back in. Okay, look at this. Okay, so when I was in seventh grade, since we're going off on a
that was
little,
a big scare.
Since we're going off on a weird little tangent right here, when I was in seventh grade, which was what year, like 1984, 1985, something like that. Okay, I was in the seventh grade.
Already writing theses and stuff.
Okay, and my dad worked for TRW, which is Thomas Raymond and Woolridge. It started out as a automobile parts manufacturer in Detroit, and they moved on to space parts manufacturer. My dad built satellites.
Actually, they ran the whole. The credit report. There was. The, I think they.
I know, right?
That.
That's weird, like, right?
Because they had so many contacts with people.
Okay, so anyway, so I had this magazine that I used to love. It was called Stickers and Stuff, and you could put a little free ad in the back of it, and ask for pen pals. So I put my little ad in there saying that I was like cool. I was chill. I like stickers and like Depeche Mode and like just it's all this bullshit. And I'm
looking for love in all the wrong ways.
And I got fucking like 20 letters a day. I'm telling you, I got 20 letters a day for like 6 months straight. It was so much fun. And I got a letter from a girl that lived in Russia. And I was so excited about that. You know, I thought that was so interesting and so fun. And so I wrote her back. And then she wrote me back. My dad intercepted one of the letters. My dad hardly ever checked the mail, but this one time he got the mail out. He saw that it was a letter from Russia. And he came and told me, girl, you need to. No, he didn't say that. He did not say that. He wasn't even mean to me. He said, look, you know, I know that you know you like having this pen pal and stuff, but you cannot keep this pen pal. My job will fucking like they will see that as suspect. Yeah, they will see that as suspect, and they'll start questioning me, and you can't write her back. So I didn't write her back anymore.
McCarthy will send J. Edgar Hoover.
So I don't even know why I brought all that up.
You wear your panties.
Because you were talking about communists. Yeah, we were talking about communists.
Yeah, J. Edgar Hoover, he flies out of communists. I think he's wearing your bra and panties.
I know.
Is this too small on me? McCarthy sent me all
But so the whole thing, I remember when we were growing up and like there was the Red Scare, right?
Yeah, the Red Scare.
I remember being on first grade, standing on the fucking playground, talking about communists coming and killing us.
Yeah, when are they going to drop the bomb? The Red Army's bombing, and there was no gas.
Right? And then, look at David Hasselhoff pops up out of the blue. David Hasselhoff. He goes and he has a freaking, like, remember he had a concert at the wall?
Yeah.
At the wall, at the east, where East and West Germany fucking divided. And remember, East Germany was communist.
Yeah.
Right? And so then, like, shortly after that wall got knocked down, communists ended, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, we weren't supposed to be afraid of the Russians anymore.
Right.
Like, it's like that. We're not afraid of them anymore. Are you fucking kidding me?
They're all singing
like,
and dancing in the
streets. That just makes no sense to me. I'm like 20 years old when this happened, and I'm like thinking, no, there's something wrong with that, okay? Like, they can't just be enemies and then not.
Yeah, but Hasselhoff.
You can't just be an enemy and then not an enemy.
Send Hasselhoff, man. Don't hassle the Hoff.
And then David Hasselhoff, he gets on this documentary. He's like, look it. He's like, I am so disappointed that I did not get the credit that I deserve for ending communism and bringing the Berlin Wall down.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the thousands of people who died and Gorbachev and Reagan spending hours and hours trying to work things out.
He's like, don't hassle with the Hoff. I don't even think his little alcoholism thing, that was bullshit too. Look, this is what he sees. He sees motherfucking all these people like, oh, I'm recovering. And everyone's like, oh, You quit drinking, like, oh, yeah, right?
He jumped on that bandwagon.
He's like, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do for my next publicity stunt? He's all, here. He gives his daughter a camera. He's like, a video camera. He's like, here, record me, and I'll be drunk on O'Doul's, yeah. You know?
Sticks his finger down the throat and throws up. Eating a cheeseburger, took him 2 hours. Playing with his cheeseburger.
Calls her like a fucking bitch or something.
Yep, hey, you fucking whore. You're my daughter. You fucking slapping him with a pink fucking hamburger and shit.
Then next thing you know, he's like, he's supposed to be some rehab recovery story.
Yep.
Bitch, please.
He's running group and fucking fucking passages and shit. He's fucking Gary Busey fucking talking about the old days.
He like thinks that he's like Dr. Drew's right hand man and shit down.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever, David Hasselhoff. We won't hassle with your Hoff. We won't. We love you. We fucking love you, man.
I knew he was a fraud when he was scared of Jan Michael Vincent, though.
Look, check this shit out, though. At this very beach, Brett, at this very, very beach, Cabrillo Beach in San Pedro, Los Angeles, California, 90731, I got to see Kit.
Kiss?
Kit.
Oh, Tatiana?
Kit.
Oh, you saw, oh, you mean Knight Rider?
Dude! Bam! They were filming Knight Rider down here one time. And we came for a, you know, like, I don't know what grade I was in. Seven years old. First grade, something like that.
Tight pants and shit.
Yes. You know that hair? And fucking, oh my God, he was such a babe. Yeah. Right?
Who?
Mr. Hasselhoff.
Oh, he's a babe.
He was a babe, and so was that dude that was like, I'm BJ McKay, and this is my best friend, babe. Bum, bum. Okay, so anyway, let's go on with our story.
Okay.
Where were we?
Okay, Tatiano meets the Count when cultures clash.
No.
TRW?
We went so way left. We're going to have to erase all this.
No.
Okay. So, you know, she was so impressed. She wanted to be Americanized. Now, she gave Tatiana Tarasoff, she was totally into, like, wanting to be an American. She's, like, the type of person that she might have had an accent, a thick accent, when she got here at the time when she was 14. By the time she was 20, she had almost no trace of an accent at all whatsoever. That's how much she longed to be an American. That's how much she was motivated, you know, to be a part of. And she wanted to go to UC Berkeley so much that she just applied and applied and applied. And the first time she got shot down, you know, maybe, I don't know, she didn't get the SAT. I don't know what happened. But she went to Merritt College, which was a junior college nearby. She got great grades that whole year. Plus, she tutored kids or, you know, exchange students who lived in the international house at UC Berkeley. It was like the dormitories for, you know, exchange students from out of the country. It was called the International House. They called it the I House for short. And she tutored students there in Portuguese. Well, she didn't tutor them to learn Portuguese. She taught.
Good.
Yeah, she was looking pretty good. This girl is working her butt off, right? Yeah,
definitely wasn't a fucking a boring resume.
She's coming from behind the eight ball, and she is, she's ready to win.
Yeah, she's working her little tatas off.
She's gonna take over the world, okay? Mm-hmm. And she wasn't kidding. Excuse me.
She might mess around.
Ultimately, she got accepted into UC Berkeley. Yay! Oh my gosh, this is my dream school. I am finally gonna get to be a part of this progressive, super fucking cool movement. What was I going to say? I think I'm going backwards a little bit. Mm. Or I think I'm going forwards a little bit. When we were talking about UC, look at this dude. Look, is this dude walking straight? Look.
What?
Ask him if he has a cigarette.
No.
Ask him if he has a cigarette.
I'm going to ask him nothing. I don't want to meet nobody. We learned our lesson.
Is it because he has that do-rag on?
This is because I don't want anybody over here.
Son of a bitch. Okay.
Oh, it's protein G.
Okay. So, I just keep getting distracted. So, he's like, do I have ADD or what?
No.
What's my age again? Whatever. Anyway. So. Oh, even though she was completely motivated, completely on point, she wasn't even allowed to. Her mother was so religious and so, like, kept such a short leash, or tried to keep such a short leash on the free-spirited Tatiana, that she wouldn't even allow her to wear makeup. So Tatiana snuck makeup, like, when she was out of the home. She had her secret little makeup kit.
She had a little cash box.
Like, yeah, like how serial killers have a serial killer kit. She had a makeup kit.
Death kit. She had a makeup kit.
Mm-hmm.
Panty kit. Bra mm-hmm. kit.
Right? No, her no bra kit. She wore a bra when she left the house. She took it off as soon as she left. Put on this makeup. And, because remember, it was no bra. Burn your bras. So,
drop out, drop in, and check in.
No, it's tune in, turn on, and drop out.
All right.
Timothy Leary.
Yeah.
Okay, so, she wasn't allowed to go and tutor, even be a tutor, unless her older brother, Alex, was her chaperone. It's like, I'm just a girl. You know what I mean? You won't let me out of your sight, right?
Yeah, but she said she had ways.
She had ways. She figured ways around it. Her mother did, however, let her go to the International House and the I House to go to folk dances. Her mother trusted somehow in folk dances. Was they weren't listening, and she could be self-assured that they weren't listening to that hippie music, mm-hmm. and that they weren't doing hippie activities. She didn't bring her daughter to America to become a goddamn hippie, right? She wasn't into that. And so she didn't want her partaking in any of that stuff. The folk dances were okay. She said maybe they do a little polka, maybe hear a little accordion.
Dancing. Yeah, see the new accordion star from the classroom of, what's her name? the Miguel and freaking... What was her name?
Ida, what was her name?
No, it was long, it was like an...
It was Mrs. fucking... Mrs. Berling. Mrs. Berling. Mrs. Berling.
The hair all slicked back.
Right, in a tight bun, a tight bleach blonde bun.
Mother falling down. Oh.
She's like, play the accordion, girl.
Yeah, strapping freaking elevators to her fucking back of the fucking, what was her name? What was the little girl?
The little girl's name was, I don't remember. Yeah. Let's just, okay. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, just go ahead and put the cigarettes out on her back.
That's horrible. So anyway, it was at one of these dances at the I House that Tatiana, young, beautiful, pretty,
Pro Shang Jeet.
And this is what happened. And we weren't there. We can't say for sure, but we're pretty sure. The world stopped. Look it. First of all, Tatiana's out looking for some action. Okay.
I'm young. I want giddy laughter. Ha cha 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 cha.
Right? And so then all of a sudden, it's like there was like a bunch of like students on the dance floor, right? And then all of a sudden, it seemed like it parted like the Red Sea, right? And there was this open space from across the room. Tatiana was on one side, Po Shang Jeet was on the other. And there was like kind of like, there was kind of like smoke for some reason. Yeah. There was smoke.
Lightning come off of Po Shang Jeet's
right?
ears.
Right, and then all of a sudden this music came out and it was like, la 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 la, la 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 la. La 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 la.
Scooby dooby doo doo.
Right, and imagine this whole time they're moving slowly towards each other. Pro Shang Jeet Podar and Tatiana Tarasov. Boom. And she's thinking, oh my God, I wonder if he knows the Dalai Lama.
And the poles.
Right? Things. Because I'm totally into Hindu. I'm like so into this whole hippie culture, like free love. Like, oh my God, yeah. I wonder if he knows the Dalai Lama.
All of a sudden she turns into a Tibetan.
He's like, I'm fucking in love. Mm-hmm. He's like, a girl has paid attention to me. Yeah. Right? And he's like, I am so in love. Yep. And so she finds it very interesting at first. But then, you know, a little bit too much attention to this boy who's never, he's very, okay, so Po Shang Jeet, this is who he was. Po Shang Jeet came from India. Tatiana was 18, he was 22. I don't know his birthday. But I know that he was part of the caste system, which at that time had supposedly been abolished. However, was still very and is still very influential in India. And the caste system is a classing of the hereditary classes of the Hindu society, distinguished of ritual purity or pollution of social status, whatever that means. So there's God at the top, okay? And we're going to break it down in your kindergarten style. There's God at the top. And then there's like a pyramid, okay? And there's five different castes. The first caste, the one right below God, would be the Brahmins. That is priestly, the priests and the academic people. Then under that is the Kshatriyas, and they are rulers, administrators, and warriors. Underneath that is the Vaishyas, and they are artisans, tradesmen, farmers, and merchants. Underneath that would be the Shudras, the manual laborers. Okay, now, this is the thing, is that everybody, like every society thinks to a certain extent has a caste, if you will. But like, say in the United States of America, like our claim to fame, our thing is, you know, opportunities are endless. Like the streets are paved of gold. Like you can be what you want to be, do what you want to do in America. You can come here and rise up from the ashes like a phoenix. Like you do not have to stay stuck where you are at if you don't want to. If you work for it, you can have and be whatever you want to be and do whatever you want to do, right? Well, the caste system in India, it's quite different in that each person in their caste is meant to stay in that caste until they die. So they're basically just relegated to that caste. That's it. That's it. If you're a Brahmin, then great. Hopefully you get to Nirvana. Hopefully that's the next step. Hopefully you don't keep being recycled, because they believe in, Christians don't believe in reincarnation. That's not a Christian belief. That's a Hindu belief. And that's where your soul gets recycled right into a new body. And it just goes on and on and on until finally you reach Nirvana and bam, that's it. Bam. Reach the highest point that you could possibly.
Completed your soul cycle.
Hell yeah. Right, you don't have to stay stuck as a rat in a rat temple. You don't have to, you know, right? So, but you're in that caste until, and depending on what you do while you're in that caste, how you treat people, like how you live your life in that certain caste, you may or may not cycle up to the next caste. You know, you may stay a Shudra forever. You may stay a Vaishya forever. You know, you might just be in limbo in rat temple.
I mean, just be a rat, huh?
Forever. Okay, then there's... Forever. So that I just told you about the first four in the tier, or in the triangle, or the pyramid. Then there's a break. There's like a... It separates, you know? And then there's the bottom portion of the pyramid. And that is where the Dalits are. And those are the untouchables. And they are, what, latrine cleaners, street sweepers, and whatever job, whatever menial task or job that they are given to do. It's so weird how they say that they break it down by family, by society, but they also break it down like job status. Like if you can, like you cannot be a Kshatriya and get a job as a priest. It can't happen. Won't happen. Right? You cannot be a Vaishya and get a job as an administrator. Can't happen. So you're stuck in whatever, you know. Poshenji Podar was born, guess what? He was born as a Dalit in the lowest caste possible. He was an untouchable, and 0.5% of untouchables. I mean, first of all, this system is so ingrained in this society and has been forever that, like, for crying out loud, the fact that he was in UC Berkeley and going for his master's degree to become what? He was going to become a...
Naval architect.
Full ride, full scholarship. He like he was in his what do they call it? A slum?
Yeah.
Okay, he was in his slum in India, and they all look at... Like, these are like dirt poor people, okay? They like... And I'm not putting them down by saying this. Why are you turning that on? I'm not putting them down by saying this. But they will go so far as to, like, chop off the arm of a limb of their own baby just to get more money as a beggar. You know? They just have no hope, kind of, like, you know what I mean? They're hopeless in a lot of ways. And he had hope. He had something inside him. Not only was he super intelligent, he had something inside him that just did the damn thing. You know what I mean? And he found his way out of that place. So when you live in a hopeless environment, like pretty much nobody has nothing for you. Like they don't have nothing for themselves and they have nothing for you. And these people in his little hometown, they got together and they made sure that he got the money, that he made it, that he packed his suitcase and that he fucking made it on that plane and he went to goddamn fucking United States. He went to California and he made it here. Because he was going to be something. He was going to be the guy, you know, of their generation, whatever, to to do the damn thing, right? Like to to beat all odds. To I mean, he's just so impressive, right?
Yeah.
I'm so impressed by him.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Prochain G.
And Podar. And he brought with him though. He brought with him those old school ways and those old the caste. He brought with them the ideas that they have about women, the ideas that they have about everything. He brought with him. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to, you know, set aside everything that he thought he knew so that he could have an open mind and a new experience. He wasn't willing to do that. Whereas Tatiana, on the other hand, well, the world, she was also overcame a bunch of odds. The world was at her oyster too, The world was her oyster too. And she it was like this. It was like, come to me. Like she's hugging it. And he's like, but only on my terms, you know? He's like, come to me only to get what I want. So he had a means to an end kind of a thing. Like he just was there to get an education and to hopefully get his parents out of the slum that they were in. And that's it. I don't think he really saw the gravity or the levity of what it was that he was doing. Or, you know what I mean? I don't think he really got that.
I think he was intense. He was task-oriented.
He was task-oriented, but he was also ungrateful in a lot of ways, I think. But anyway, so... Whereas she was more open, you know? So she quickly, like, sees, like, this guy, he ain't smoke ganja with the Dalai Lama. He ain't about fucking, like, you know, pro-peace and anti-war. She got bored with him, you know? She's like, plus, you need to, like, take a bath or something. I don't know. She's like, I don't like you. So he took it all to heart. And so she kind of string him along because she liked the attention. She's a girl. She likes the attention. Her parents had met him. They didn't really like him, probably because they knew, like, you know, they probably knew, like, the depth of where it was that he was coming from.
Yeah.
And they probably had their own, I would say they had their own, their own prejudices. Because, like, for instance, like, okay, like, my dad, I don't want to say anything bad about my dad, but he had told me about the Untouchables. Because he went to India when he was in the Navy in the 1940s. And he told me about them. And the way he described it wasn't in a good light, okay? Let's just put it that way. So I can imagine back then, especially living on that side of the world, you should probably hear things, you know what I'm saying? And so they just were not impressed by him and they didn't like him, her mom and dad. And they probably said things to her that weren't very savory. And that just added to her, like... Plus, she decided that she was not going to be tied down to any man. She wasn't going to be some chick that got pregnant.
America.
Right? She's going to get a career. She might even be a lawyer, for God's sake. Who knows? Opportunities are endless, right? And so she's not trying to be with anybody. She's trying to be with anybody she can be with.
Yeah.
Kind of. And, you know.
He's got his whole life figured out.
So on New Year's Eve, she went to the New Year's Eve dance with him. And she kissed him at midnight. And he fucking called his parents right after that.
Instant stalker.
Oh, my God. He called his parents and he said, look it, intentions have been set and we're getting married. I'm marrying this woman.
She's marrying me. She's going to be my wife.
She kissed me. I don't think he told his parents that, but maybe he did. Who knows?
We shared body fluid.
She set her intentions down. I concur. And we are getting married. Get the table set.
She wants my bush. She wants my stinky bush.
He goes to Tatiana and tells her this. She's like, Dick.
I don't even like curry.
Right? She was rude. She was really rude to him.
I don't even know where Calcutta is.
She wasn't... She was rude, and she was mean, and she was cruel, and she did not let him down easy, and she told him, go away. You know, like, I date lots of men. You're not the only one. Get over yourself. And I'm not marrying you, for crying out loud.
Does he even have an army?
He was devastated. He stopped showering. He stopped eating.
Well, he stopped showering less.
Okay. He stopped showering. He stopped eating. His grades dropped. I mean, this is a brilliant young man.
More curry.
His grades are like go from A++++ to C++++. Right. And his classmates, you know, there are probably like 10 people in his graduating class.
He's
come on.
Raising his hand, he's up front. He's bubbling in now.
Right now he's in the back. If he shows up that day. He's all telling his roommate. He's all got like salad still stuck in his teeth from 5 days ago.
Yeah. He's all. To fucking Jefferson airplane.
He tried to, but he couldn't do it.
He always went back to the shitar.
He tried to smoke pot. He couldn't do it. Yeah. He could not do it. And so, listen. His fellow classmates come to him and they go, look, Posh, Angie. They go, look, Posh.
Yep.
Look, Poshy.
Posh. Poshy.
There is a health center here at the college. You can go to it. And they can help you with your... They can help you. You can just find somebody to talk to.
I'm not crazy.
Nobody said you were crazy.
You said I needed to see a mental... I'm not crazy.
I didn't say you needed to see.
I'm an architect. Architects aren't crazy.
Posh, Angie... Go to the health center. Ask for help.
My wife just hasn't understood yet. She's my wife.
So he goes to the fucking health center at UC Berkeley. He gets a psychiatrist appointed to him named Dr. Moore.
He can't even say the word tea.
Who was an up... No, he doesn't even eat tater tots anymore.
No, he doesn't eat tater tots. Anything with tea.
He's like, tot, tot.
As soon as he even hears the word tea.
Tatiana, wah. Right? Just... Yeah, because that was the other thing that he did do, though, that was sad, is that he would just start bawling... And crying and sobbing throughout the halls of the school. Like, he'd just be walking along and just start sobbing.
Punching walls and shit.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, my God. Here was this reserved young man, and now he's just... Like, you're attracting too much attention. We don't want to focus on you like this, Posh.
I'm not crazy.
Right? So, he goes to Dr. Moore, and he tells Dr. Moore, like, look, he's like, I'm fucking, oh my God. He's like, I fucking hate this bitch. He's like, I want to kill her. He starts telling Dr. Moore these specific outlined fucking ideas about how he wants to kill this girl.
And put her in a battleship and sink her.
Yeah, and just all kinds of stuff, you know? And the doctor says, oh my goodness. He notifies the campus police. And keep your elbow off that, dude, because you're probably the reason why it didn't record the last time. So... He says, and on top of that, he notifies the campus police and he says, look, this guy is a danger to himself and others. He needs to be clinically arrested right now. He needs to be put under lock and key. He needs to be put under psychiatric care, 72-hour hold, 3-week hold, like, we don't know, we don't care, but he needs to be stopped. He's a danger to himself and others. Extra, read all about it, right? Like, warning sign, flashing, red flag, right? This doctor lets the campus police know. However, he doesn't let Tatiana know that she's could be in a little danger. You know, he doesn't let the local police know, like the police of the city, Berkeley, I don't know what it is the sheriff's? I imagine it's the sheriff's, huh? Yeah. I gotta look that up. But for some reason, I envision it's the sheriffs. Do you think it's the Berkeley police?
Like,
how's the Torrance police? Do you think it's the Berkeley police? No, I think it's probably the sheriffs. But anyways, we'll look that up. So anyways, he doesn't let them know. He doesn't let the fucking park rangers know. He lets the campus police know. They take him, and they take Post Angie. They come get him. They put him under lock and key for like 48 hours. And the doctor on staff at the time, the head doctor on staff, was not Dr. Moore. Apparently, he saw what Dr. Moore wrote, and he said, yeah, you know what? This is a really smart kid. He was a fucking untouchable, for crying out loud. The kid's been through enough. Jesus Christ. Let him go, and don't ever lock him up again, because that is just outrageous that you would think this boy is in any way whatsoever insane. And out to hurt others. No. Right? So he lets him go. And under direction to... Don't fuck with him. Like, per the doctor at the hospital, right? So they don't. And consequently, she goes to Brazil to visit her aunt for the summer. Proshinji improves remarkably. He starts brushing his teeth. Gets his grades up.
Starts eating curry.
Skipping and jumping. No longer smells like B.O. No longer crying for no reason, just at the drop of a hat. He's getting better. September 1969 comes around. She comes back. She's ready to start her fucking year at UC Berkeley, man. Like, this is her time. This is her time. And she's so excited. Like, oh my fucking gosh, right? And so she's like, I don't have nothing to do with that post, Shangeet. Her mom knows, her brother knows, even though this is what he did. This was one move that he did that was really fucked up, was that her brother Alex was going to UC Berkeley. Post Shangeet strategically puts himself in the room with Alex. So they were roommates at the I-House, which is so creepy. You know what I mean? Like, if I was Alex, I'd be like, dude, what the fuck? Like, leave my sister alone, dude. Hey, brah. She's like, but he was probably traditional in his way, too, right? Alex? Like, this, it's like this male hierarchy thing, you know? Where it doesn't matter. It can kind of, it can be cross-generational as far as men go, right? The way they treat women is maybe different. I don't know. Anyway, so Alex and Post Shangeet are friends. Weird. But so Post Shangeet, he's still calling her, still bugging her. Her mother's like, no, she's not here. Tatiana's not here. Tatiana's not here. His talk of killing her escalates. And he starts telling his buddies and his friends and his classmates, you know, I'm going to get a gun. He tries to get a gun, I think like a Sears and Roebuck or something like that. And all he can get is a pellet gun. That's the best he can do. So he gets it. He gets a pellet gun. On October 16th, 1969, he goes over to Tatiana's house, knocks on her door. Her mother's like, oh, no, Tatiana's not here.
Full box of pellets.
He's like, I call bullshit, right? He's like, I call bullshit. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm the Jeetster.
Right?
That's when he's like Rambo.
He walks around the back. He finds Tatiana. He confronts her. Oh, I thought you weren't home. She's like, yeah, I just got home. I just walked in the back door.
Sorry. Not sorry.
Right? And she's probably a little flippant, but you know what? This is the thing, is that you're allowed to be whatever you are and whoever you are, and that doesn't mean you get to get killed.
I'm American.
Right? So
my brother says you only got a pellet
gun. He's like,
anyways.
I thought you weren't here.
So you shoot me with your pellet gun?
No, she didn't know he had one. He was hiding it.
Boy.
He was also hiding a butcher knife. Oh. So he said, I thought you loved me. I thought we were going to get married. I thought, I called my parents, because he had called his parents and told them. They had the table set, they had the invitations written out. It took him a half hour to write each invitation. They sent out 100.
How much was that? Come on.
Right?
Prozane.
And here you go around, chick, and you're just saying that you have many boyfriends? What kind of a woman in life that does not have Medusa fucking snakes coming out of her head? What kind of a woman?
Sucker. She's all suckerfish. That's all he sees is suckerfish. She's all
right.
Sucker.
She's like, just get. But she's like, psh, psh. She's dismissing him, and he's like, ooh. He fucking takes out his pellet gun and he unloads like all 50 little pellets on
her.
Like
a bullseye on her face.
No, he did it on her chest.
Oh, chest.
And it pissed her off. Like it was enough to like it stunned her, obviously, but it also made her very, very angry. And so she lunged at him. She lunged at him, he pulls out the knife. And then she's like, oh, shit. And she fucking runs to the front yard, like from the back of the house to the front yard.
Jesse Owens.
He chases after her. He catches her and he stabs her to death 13 times in the front yard of their house, of her house.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry.
Right? Then he very calmly and casually walks in the front door without knocking first. Okay? This is a very polite, right, appropriate.
Wooden shoes and stuff.
Indian boy who just walks in to their house, picks up the phone, calls the police, and says, I just killed somebody. Come and arrest me.
Get out of my way, boy, woman.
I don't even think he's spoke to her mother. If I was her mother, I would hit him over the head with a fucking frying pan.
She's probably gonna.
I don't think she even knew at this point.
He had those shoes, like those shoes that had the swirly on top.
So, the police get there. Approaching Gene, he puts his hand, he's standing there already with his hands behind his back.
Investigation is a day long.
Yeah. He's standing there with his hands behind his back. He's like, handcuff me. I did it. That's how he is. Handcuff me. I did it.
Don't even need a lawyer.
And you know what? Because in his country, probably at that time, that era, that would have been totally 100% okay. That would have been... excuse me. That would have been protocol.
Yeah, we go down to this Bombay, the local police authority, we'll drink some bad tea, smoke some hashish, and I'll be out by the night.
You know what I mean? The bitch deserved it, right? But no, this is the United States of America, and she did not deserve that, and nobody deserves that, and no matter what country, no matter where you're from, you should be allowed to be who you are, you know, and feel the feelings you want, and if you don't want somebody, then you shouldn't have to be murdered over it. She was murdered over it. And so it came to light, you know, and because he tried to claim that he was a fucking insane and shit. He tried to pull that in asylum. The Twinkie defense. I don't know. The insane, yeah, the insane defense.
The caste system.
And they said no. Absolutely not. And so then that's when Dr. Moore came in and said, look it, I let the campus police know. But no, you never let Tatiana know. And that's what this all boils down to, is that there is a law that psychiatrists, counselors, that any kind of doctor, any kind of professional in that arena needs to abide by. It's the Tarasoff Law, and it is the duty to warn. When a patient comes to you as a doctor or any of those right. professionals.
Therapist.
Yeah, yes.
Brothers. That's yes. what got them.
No, that's not what got them. See, he could have used the Tarasoff Law, and he didn't. What he did was he had a quote-unquote girlfriend eavesdrop and then tell.
That's right. Yeah,
that's some chicken shit bullshit. Because he could have told just Tarasoff. You know, he could have used Tarasoff. Right. As the reason why.
Not to mention they were just spending too much money. But then, some people process.
No, you know what, Brett? Anyways, let's not go off on that rabbit hole. I'm almost done here.
Right.
Okay, so it's the duty to warn. Is it if you threaten to hurt somebody else or yourself, children, elderly people,
animals,
anything.
Yeah.
If you are threatening to harm anybody else, including yourself, then they have a right to break confidentiality, because every doctor and patient have a doctor-patient confidentiality, just like I think lawyers do too, right? Where everything that is said between them stays between them, right?
Yeah.
So, except for when it comes to harming yourself or others, they got to break it. They got to tell.
Yeah.
They have to not only warn the person that is being threatened, but they need to warn law enforcement, and they need to warn the people around them or anybody that can help or prevent, any kind of injury from happening to the threatened person.
Right.
That's it. That's Tarasoff. And fuck yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, you know what? Tatiana, she still got to be a forerunner. She still got to be revolutionary in a way that she helped change a law that was set in place, and she got to change it. You know, and hopefully save lives. And I'm sure that Tarasoff has saved many lives.
Yeah, definitely changed my life.
Why? Because of this podcast?
No, I mean, I've learned a lot on this. I thought I knew a lot about the caste system and India, and I just heard it was hearsay. No, I know a little bit, just the surface.
But what about Tarasoff?
Oh, the law? Yeah, I really didn't know that that was the groundbreaker to change things.
But every single time that you've gone to a counselor, which I know you have, or you've gone to rehab, which I know you have, don't they always read you that?
Yeah. I never pay attention, but,
they always say, everything that said here stays here, except for if you threaten somebody else's life or you threaten to take your own.
Right.
Bam. All bets are off. I'm telling. Confidentiality is broken. Okay? And that's necessary to save lives.
Right.
And also, the other thing that they say now is they say something about babies. I don't know. What is that?
Babies need to be socked in the face.
No, shut up.
Quit crying, baby.
No. Surrender.
Oh, surrender the baby. Yeah, there's free. The hospitals, fire departments, and police departments. This is free.
Yeah, it's like no questions asked.
Yeah, no questions asked. Just drop off the baby,
Yeah. Now when you go places like counselor or whatever, for whatever reason, they always have you sign this no questions asked.
The thing is...
I'm like almost 50 years old. I am not going to have a baby.
Right. I think it's a dumpster.
That I'm surrendering.
Like thrown in a dumpster. There's like a sign, an X through it.
No, I think you can put it like... It's kind of like a found thing. You can just stick it on someone's front... You can stick it on the hospital's front porch and run. Yeah,
squat it, drop it, and leave.
And look at... But like they're not going to test the DNA and come looking for you. Yeah. See, that doesn't... Okay, I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole.
Right.
Never mind. All right, that's the end.
Yep, definitely. Once again, it was a good podcast. And ta-ta for now.
Ugh, you're so wrong.
heartbeat just like a drum. I hear your rhythm, you feel so near. Oh, California, all senses clear.
Yeah, so we're doing this California PC 187, the podcast, and we're on location of...
We're not on location. Okay. We are working for Postmates right now, and we are just noticing that the traffic has been absolutely ridiculous, that people are acting crazy, and there continues to be some random girl standing on the street in any given main street that we go down.
Every corner.
Screeching. Just screeching.
Half naked.
Or like this. Check it out. You guys, Valentine's is not that big of a motherfucking deal.
It's not even a holiday.
It's not even a real holiday. I mean, you don't get the day off. You don't get to, like, you know, stay home from work.
No.
I mean, come on, guys.
No time and a half. No triple time.
And with all this talk, this PC, politically correct, like, human resources.
New millennium.
Like family-oriented. Like we're talking about health and wealth of our freaking own psyche and spiritual wellness and
Me
all
too.
That stuff. You know what? Check
like,
it out.
Look.
No. With all that in mind, you don't need a boyfriend and you don't need a girlfriend.
No shit. Look
you
at
know?
This.
You know? Right?
Of course. This guy right here, he comes in, he's got a... He's
I know, look at that man.
He's handicapped. He's handicapped. He comes barreling around the corner. He almost hit us.
Okay, I know. See, and that's the other thing, too. So it's like this, because like people are going crazy. They're going out of their minds because they don't have somebody to give a fucking Valentine card to. Like, really? Really? You're supposed to be working on self, guys. It's all about self and how you need to work on self, right?
Yes, it is.
So don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Like, give yourself a Valentine. Hug yourself. Get yourself some McDonald's, right?
Yep.
And fucking watch TV.
Yep.
Get up and go to work tomorrow. It's just another day.
Just another day. Just another day.
Look, even Dutch is going crazy. And it's like, girlfriend, you have so many boyfriends. It's not even funny. Does she not?
Yeah.
Dutch low-key... High key, whatever key you want to call it. She's got so many boyfriends. And every single time she sees one of these dudes, first of all, she smells them from far away. She freaks out. She runs to them like, ugh. And then she pees.
Yeah, she pees. And that just goes to show that she gets wet.
She does. So, you know, she saw one of her boyfriends today. She had to kick it in his truck with him for a minute. But she's just still being crazy, you know? It's almost like there's a full moon. Is there a full moon?
There was a couple days ago. But, you know, going back to the truck thing, is that he brought that up today, too, at work.
Who did?
Tone Loke.
Brought what truck thing up?
Tony. Yeah, Dutch got up in the truck today, you know?
Oh, did she pee in his truck?
No, he just brought it up. I mean, it's you know, obviously...
Brett, don't be hating.
He likes it. I mean,
don't hate.
So?
Brett, don't hate, congratulate.
You're supposed to hate your boss.
No, you're not. You're supposed to love the fact that Dutchie D has her own friends.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
I want my dog to be social.
Yeah, of course.
I want her to have the most Valentine's.
Yeah, she doesn't have many friends that are women. Yeah.
She gets to have the most Valentine's.
Yeah.
You know?
She does.
She does have friends that are women. You're lying right now. She does.
She does.
She loves her female friends just as much as she loves her male friends.
I don't think she pees, though.
She does. She pees for Melissa.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to just, you know, give you a run through on what you do for Postmates. Okay, wait. Let me go back. Here, let me see. Okay, let me find that order.
How can I help you today?
Yeah, just one second.
Okay,
we're
ready.
Okay, hi, may I get a 10-piece chicken McNugget meal?
Medium or large?
Medium.
With barbecue sauce?
With creamy ranch sauce and sweet and sour. French fries and an unsweetened tea.
Okay.
And then may I please get a 10-piece chicken McNugget meal?
Another one?
Yes.
Also medium?
Yes, medium. With French fries, creamy ranch sauce, and a Dasani water.
Okay.
And that's it.
You got one with water and one with a tea with
unsweetened tea?
Yeah.
Unsweetened, yeah.
No. With some ranch and sweet and sour on the side?
Yes.
Okay, it's going to be $17.94 per soda.
Right on. Okay, thank you.
And we don't have a problem if you want to put extra of that sauce in there either.
Correct.
Yeah, thanks.
Right, we need plenty of napkins and plenty of sauce, ketchup, anything you can give us, put it in there.
See, nowadays you got to ask for straws. That's how you...
Hi, it's us again.
Yeah, so there's one with four sauces and one with
four sauces. Awesome. I got you guys. Right on. Got you. Because that helps our tip. More money. Thank you very much.
Look, so Brett and I, well, you know, it's in my name, so there it is there. But nonetheless, Brett and I do it as a duo. And we got a $21 tip the other day. We've got, like, during... Christmas time, what kind of tip did we get? We got like...
50, 75.
Remember, we had a $70 fucking tip.
Yeah.
That is bananas.
West Side, Santa Monica from Boa.
No, I'm talking about the lady in...
Yeah, the lady.
In San Pedro. Yeah. And she wrote me this dear little card. It was so sweet. She said, this is for you. This is a little something for you to go get yourself a cup of coffee.
A cup of coffee.
And I said, fucking hells yeah.
Yeah, shoot that.
I was like, thank you. Thank you.
Fuck the coffee. You. Fireball, baby.
Thank you, Mrs. Lady. Mm-hmm. And also, thank you, God.
Yes, definitely. Because we needed that right then when we got it. We always when we need stuff, seems like we always get little gifts from God from that, like that.
Right, absolutely. We do. And you know, and there's been sirens going off all day long. There's been more police and fire engines running to somebody's rescue.
Well, it's Friday. And it's Valentine's and
so people are stabbing each other or what? What's going on here?
And it's just having heart attacks. On a Friday and they just had a full moon, so it was just a full moon and it's Friday and it's Valentine's. So you know, put those three together, it's a combination for just chaos. It's pandemonium.
It's just Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, it is. Yep, that's why they got the word sodomy. it was unclean to have anal sex. It's unclean to anyone. Back in the day, it was like unclean. It was unclean for any anal sex. Anal sex is always going to be unclean.
Sex is unclean, period.
Yeah, it is, but still anal sex.
Just think about it. Women probably smelled. Everybody smelled. What are you talking about? Everybody stopped.
Yeah, they did. In fact, if you smelled good, it was like you were a freak.
If you smelled good, like what was good smelling? I mean,
especially
really?
Menstrual cycle women. Can you imagine? You went to the land of stink.
Well, that's why women had to be banned from the town for like a week.
I think that's where they started the lepers. They go kick it with the lepers.
Now, lepers are different. You know that they still have lepers? And that they have like... wasn't that show we watched? They have like in Georgia or something, they have a leper colony.
Right. Well, I mean, I think
that's crazy.
I have my views on it. I think they sent a lot of people to that
area. Okay, so let's
look
at check this guy out. Okay. Let's see. Is this both the chicken McNuggets and everything?
Oh, we got four and four. Yeah, we got good. Yeah, it's all right there.
Is the Dasani water in there?
Dasani water and we need
unsweetened tea.
Unsweetened. Yeah, can we get a cup holder, please?
And tell them that we need one of those ketchup packets with more sweetened. So there's no sweet.
No, we got four and four. We got two and two.
Creamy ranch. Okay.
Really good.
Well, yeah, but we still need the ketchup packet.
Ketchup packet. Oh yeah.
Please and thank you. Yeah. And a straw, please and thank you.
Yeah. Can we get two straws? Can we get two straws and some ketchup? Please? Yeah. Gotcha.
Oh, all right, don't worry. Awesome. Thank you.
That was mumbling. I'm kind of mumbling.
Okay.
That'll work.
Sure.
All right, man.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Got it?
Okay, so now we're off to deliver it. Wait, stop, stop, stop. Picked up. Okay, let me see. Oh shit, I gotta add the receipt. Where's the receipt, Brett?
We're live, huh?
Did you get the receipt?
I handed it to you.
Oh, here it is. Okay. Okay, receipt. I'm gonna take this. Put this in a safe spot. Okay, got it. Please write down there.
Okay.
Now what I need to do is I need to put in $17.94, and then I need to take a picture of this receipt. Can you?
Yeah, you could have just done it reverse and then you could take a picture of it.
Okay, here, hold this up for me. The receipt. Okay. Yay. And yes, we're gonna use that. Wait, stop moving.
No, I have to.
If it's just. You don't have to do shit.
You're right, I don't.
There's plenty of people that sit around not doing shit.
You're right.
So just be one of those people. I don't care if it's inconsiderate.
Okay, I'm just saying I'm getting
right away. Now we're worried about ourselves and what we are doing for our job and our customers. Okay? So. Oh, did he just tell you to move closer?
I'm operating a motor vehicle here, so we gotta focus.
If you saw your face, oh my god, it's so funny.
That's
crazy. Okay, so you know where it is? You know where this is where it is. Guess where it is? It's in that funky fucking military housing. All right, so we're gonna go deliver this. Wait, where's the microphone? Okay.
Military housing?
You know that weird military housing place.
Oh, where's that? Oh, yeah. Ghetto. Projects. Yeah. Military. Listen,
oh my, no. Okay, bye. We're done. Bye.
Naval housing. It was for enlisted.
Oh my god, that is so funny.
I made it to the.
Oh, that was so fucking funny. I think it's not recording anymore anyway.
Watch out though. Watch this. We'll take Western.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Oh, that.